Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samech Dalid. Today's daf has been dedicated by Jacob Elgozi and Rachel Elgozi for the Refuah Shelema of Simcha Bat Aziza and Rivka Bat Liat, and for Hatzlahan Parnasa Tova for Saadia Bar Rachel. Today's daf is being studied the Eilu Nishmat Hakam Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and the Eilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on the top of Samech Dalet Amud Rishon on the top line. The Gemara said, Mosaf sak al habeged shetameh mishum arig. First piece of the Gemara discusses the law in the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. We said yesterday in the Braita that a sack, the Gemara is going to explain that sack today is a garment that is made out of the goat's hair, where they put the goat's hair together. And the Gemara is going to say now that if a garment is made out of goat's hair, it is going to be tameh from the law of arig. What is the law of arig? We learned that any garment that is woven has a din of arig, and therefore sometimes receives tum'ah at the 3x3 etzba'ot level, and sometimes if a person's mahshiv the garment where he needs it for a certain function, it can even be tameh less than 3x3, as we learned yesterday. So the Gemara says that the law of something that's made out of goat's hair, which we're calling sack in the Torah, that has a din also of arig. But the way the Gemara said is mosaf, meaning additional sack has something over the over beged that it's tameh mishum arig. So the Gemara says, atu beged lav arigu. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It has an additional din over a beged. What do you mean? A beged, a garment that's arig, also has the same deen. So what's the advantage here that you're telling me that a sack has? Comes the Gemara and says, actually just read Rashi for a second. Sack, third line. Hu asui min hutzah shel ezim. That's made from the goat's hair. Shafal pi she'eno arig. Even though it really is not woven, they did not weave the hairs together. Ela kela katan atza asa. All they made is a small braid minotza shel izim. Now, what would they do with this small braid? So that she says they would tie it. The Gemara is going to say they would tie it to the children's collar or neck, and they would hang different type of ornaments from it. That she says litlot bo batei nefesh. That's like different ornaments that they would hang from it. Litzavar bito tameh. Still, it receives tumah, susceptible. Why? That she says shedarko bekach. Because that's the normal way it's used, the tachshitu, and it's considered an adornment. The haki kamar shehu tameh mishum arig ve'af al pi she'eno arig, meaning it has the tuma'ah like a garment that was woven, even though it is not woven. Gemara says, atu beged lav arigu. Says haki kamar mosav sakala beged, which means it's additional stringency on a sack that what? Afa pi she'eno arig tameh. Which means by a regular garment, it has to be woven in order to be susceptible to tumah. The hadush by sack is that even though it's not arig, we give it a status of arig, and therefore it will be susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara says, lemai hazeh. What is the value of such a garment? We learned yesterday that an arig, even kolchehu, even the smallest amount, if it has a function, so therefore it's susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara says, what would be the function of a small goat's hair garment? Well, what are you going to do with that? So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, sheken ani koleya shalosh nimin, the poor man takes, let's say, three strands of goat hair, and he braids them together, v'toleh b'savar b'to,
and he hangs it from his daughter's neck, as we learned, in order to hang, let's say, ornaments from it. So that when you see even the small amount of goat's hair does have functionality. That she does point out that we're talking about where the strings of goat's hair were spun, which means they spun them first. That's called tevi. However, they did not, obviously do not, they did not weave them. So long as it's spun, that has the status of arig, even though it was not arig. So now we learned two dinim. You have the din of arig, or a garment that was woven, and now we're learning today that sack, even though it's not woven, so long as it was spun, it is like arig, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. Rabbanan, we have a braita, sack, the Torah talks about sack. So that only tells me that what a sack, which means the regular garment, as she says, the garments that the shepherds used to wear. It seems that shepherds used to wear these garments made out of goat's hair. So what is the Torah telling us? A sack, which means a garment that's normally worn by the shepherds, is susceptible to tumah. How do you know to come include these two items, kilkele and hebek? What are these items? So that she tells us, kilkele, masrach shil sus, which means they used to place a breast strap over the horse. So that was called a kilkele. And hebek, that she says, was also made out of goat's hair. They would place it, let's say, underneath the animal. It was like a girth, they call it in English, but it's like a cummerbund that goes around the animal. The point is, how do we know that these two items are going to be susceptible to tumah if they're made out of goat's hair? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Osak, from the extra word O. Now, there's a Hiddush over here. Normally we have a rule that if it's a beged of an animal, and it's serving the animal, we learned earlier, it's not susceptible to tumah. So how could now it seems we're breaking the rule? This is a garment that's worn by a horse. Yeah, so the haibik and the kilkali. So what is the Torah giving us a deen of tumah over here? So the mefarshim understand one of two answers. Either that this serves the person. Why? Because he pulls the animal with this item, so therefore it's considered a kli that serves a man, therefore it should be susceptible to tumah. Or, since it's such an important garment, even by the animal, it'll be tameh. Meaning, till now we're always talking about more like accessory items that the animal wears. And those items that say, the Hakim does not give tumah to. But here, where it's the actual major garment of the animal, so even such begadim, even though it's miyuhad, it's specific for the animal itself, still, it will be susceptible to tumah. In any event, the Gemara says, Yachol, she'ani marbe et ha-habalim ve'et ha-meshichot, am I going to also include in the susceptibility to tum'ah havarim and meshichot? These are types of, let's say, ropes. And what are these used for? So that she says they're used for measuring. It's like a yardstick or a measuring stick made out of goat's hair. So the Gemara says, am I going to include these items for tum'ah? Tamud omar sak. No, I learned from the word sak. And what do I learn from the word sak? Ma sak tvi ve'ari. Just like a sack has to be spun in order to receive tumah. Now when the Gemara says ve'arig, it doesn't mean that it's woven. Meaning, if it's spun, it has a din of arig. It's like arig. Av kol tvi ve'arig. So to any item that's spun will have the status of arig. However, these ropes that we use for measuring, they were not even spun. They just took them off the animal as is and used them as measuring sticks. So measuring fabrics, garments. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us that if it's not spun, it does not become susceptible to tumah. Now, incidentally, all these pisukim that we're discussing by sak are in the discussion of tumat sheretz. That's talking about if, let's say, one of the shiratzim that the Torah tells us when they die can emit tumah, so these goat's hair begadim will be susceptible to tumat sheretz. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what's the law of tumat mit.
If it comes, we'll see. If it comes into contact with Tumat Met. So the Gemara says, Omer Bemet. It says by Tumat Met. V'chol Keli'or. V'chol Ma'aseh Izim. And anything that's made out of Izim. Tithata'u. Tithata'u means you have to purify them. So we see clearly what? That these items are also susceptible, these goat's hair items, are susceptible to tum'at met. So the Gemara says, lerabot hakilkele v'tachebek, which is for the fact that the person says, v'chol keli, and all the vessels, v'chol ma'aseh izim, it's coming to include not only garments that are worn by human beings, but even those breast straps that the animals wear. Okay? That can be susceptible to tum'at met. Yachol shani marbe tahabadim v'tameshichot. Oh, now we're going to ask the same question. Are you going to add these measuring items, even though they're not spun, are you going to add them to the tum'ah of tum'at met? So the Gemara says, v'dinu. Gemara says, I can use one of the 13 midot of making derashot, and I can learn like this, v'dinu. Timeh besheretz. We know that the Torah says that izim is susceptible to tum'ah of sheretz. V'timeh bemet. And now we just learned that izim also has susceptibility to tum'at met. And I'll say the following. Ma kishitimeh besheretz. Just like when the Torah said it has susceptibility to tum'at sheretz. Lo time ela tvi ve'ari. It only forbade, it only was metame things that were spun. Av kishetime bemet. So I'll say so too when the Torah talks about tum'at met and izim. Lo time ela tvi ve'ari. It's only going to metame things that are spun. So the Gemara says, what? Hen? Is that true? That word hen is rhetorical. Hen? Can that be true? Im hekal betameh sheretz shukala nakil betum'at amet shi hamura? Which means, just because we're lenient by tum'at sheretz is relatively lenient compared to the laws of tum'at met. Tum'at met is much more stringent. What's the stringency? Tumat sheretz, if a guy becomes tameh with a sheretz, all he has to do is wait overnight. Then he goes to the mikveh and he's finished. It's just called tumat erev. However, tumat met, you need 7 days. And therefore, what do you mean, Gemara, when you're telling me, oh, we found by tumat sheretz, that what? That if there's not tvi, if it's not spun, it's not going to receive tumat, so too by tumat met. No, you can't learn like that. I can tell you maybe by sheretz though, but tum'at met is more stringent. Therefore, I'll say maybe, even if it's not tevi, exactly, maybe it's still susceptible to tum'ah. So the Gemara says, oh, you're right. So you can't learn it like that. We have another way to learn it. Tamud lomar, beged ve'or, beged ve'or, the gezerah shava. Now, we have actually a gezerah shava, which means we found two words that were written by tum'at sheretz. And we found the same words that were written by Tum'at Met. And therefore, once we see similar terminologies by both cases, so then we can compare the laws of Sheretz to the laws of Tum'ah. We were not doing it out of logic now. Now we're doing it out of a Gezerah Shavash. Ne'emar Beged Ve'or B'Sheretz. Ne'emar Beged Ve'or B'Met. Ma Beged Ve'or. Ha'amur b'sheretz lo metame ela tvi ve'arig at beged ve'or ha'amur b'met lo time ela tvi ve'arig. So the Gemara says the fact that we have two similar words, beged literally means a garment, or means leather, and we know that the begadim over here by sheretz is even referring to a beged that's made out of nosash and izim, even goats. And we said that what? We learned that by sheretz it has to be dafka spun. So too by tumat met, tafka spun. So we have a gezerah shava. So comes the Gemara and says, Uma beged ve'or amur bemet. And just like the beged and all that's written by the met, tameh kol ma'aseh izim, which means all ma'aseh, because the pasuk by met was what? It says, v'chol ma'aseh izim. Af beged ve'or amur b'sheretz tameh, kol ma'aseh izim, which means that would include the kilkale and the hebek. That would include the
garments that are worn by the horse, by the animal, the breast strap and the other thing that he wears underneath him. So why? Because once you're learning Beged Ve'or, so now I learned both dinim. I can say what? That just like you need tvi, needs to be spun, I could also say, just like by Tumat Mid, it says the word Ve'chol, it says, and all Ma'aseh Azim, and that teaches me to include those animal items. So too by Tumat Sheretz, those animal items also will be susceptible. So technically right now we're learning everything from a Gezerah Sheva. Exactly, that Osak that originally we used to come and include the Hebek and the Kilkaleh, we don't need that anymore. Now already it's all being learned from a Gezerah Sheva. Everything has to be spun and woven.
Includes the measuring string.
Correct, and correct, yes.
Of course it's not spun
correct,
and woven.
Correct, 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 correct. Gemara, in the Ela Devar Abba Min Azim. Okay, now we'll go to the next step. I only know so far items that come from the goat. We were talking about goats here till now. Minayin l'ravot davar abba mizanav asus u'mizanav apara. How do you know to include items that even come from the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow? How do you know to include items that are made from those materials that are also going to be susceptible to tumah? Tamud lomar osak. So now, since that's available again, that dirashah is opened again, right? Once we use the gezerah shava, so now already osak is open. So what is osak going to teach me? That not only the things that are made out of goat's hair, but even things that are made out of the tail of a horse, or of a, yeah, the same dinim, or the tail of a cow.
Same dinim.
So the Gemara says, Ve'ha afik tele kilkele ve'hebek. So what are you talking about? You used already osak for the kilkele and the hebek. So the Gemara says, no, hani mile mekamede letei gezerah shava. Yeah, that was only before we had the gezerah shava of beged and or. Hashtad da'atei gezerah shava. But now that we have a gezerah shava of beged ve'or, aitur le. Now osak is extra. And if I could learn even the other types of items, the horse's tail
and the cow tail.
Ve'en li ela b'sheretz. Yeah, but wait. Osak, that pasuk was written by Sheretz. So we only know that those two items, the horse's tail and the cow's tail, is susceptible to tum'at sheretz. Betum'at met minayin. How do I know that by tum'at met it also has susceptibility to tum'ah? Again, at this point we're trying to understand that. We just proved from Osak that teaches me what? It's an inclusion. What is it including? It's including zanav sus and zanav para. But Osak is written where? By Sheretz. How do you know that it's going to have also the same susceptibility by Tum'at Met? So the Gemara says, Vedinu. What do you mean? I could learn I could learn through using one of the midot of learning one perashah to another perashah and say the following. Time b'met. We know the Torah says what? That there's Tum'at by a Met. V'time b'sheretz. And we know also there's tumah by a sheretz. Ma k'shitime b'sheretz. Asa davar abba mizana basus mizana v'parak ma'aseh izim. And we know now from the fact that it says osak that by sheretz the Torah said zanav sus and zanav para has the din of ma'aseh izim, has the din of goats here. So I'll say af k'shitime b'met. I'll say the same thing when the Torah says there's tumah by met. Asa davar abba mizana basus mizana v'para k'ma'aseh izim. So I'll learn like a corollary, just like over here, so too over there. The Gemara says, "Hen, is that so?" Imirba betumat erev sheimiruba, darbe betumat shva shei moetet. So comes the Gemara now and says the other way. The Gemara says that there's a logic to say will be more strict by sheretz. Why? Because tum'at sheretz is tum'at erev, which means the tum'ah is a tum'ah where you just have to wait overnight and then you can become tum'ah. And we find many types of tum'ot in the Torah have tum'at erev. For example, as she quotes them for us, what are the cases? He says
The din of sheretz, the din of nevela. If you touch, let's say, a dead carcass, shikvat zera, if a person has a seminal discharge, maga azab, if somebody touches azab, umagata memet, or somebody touches a met, which means, umagata memet, somebody touches somebody that was tameh from a met, which means there are many cases in the Torah that have the deen of tum'at ayrim. So I can say, since you have, that's the normal type of tum'ah, so maybe the Torah adds on extra deenim and says even zanav asus and even zanav of para. However, that's called imhirba b'tumat ayrev. If you wanted to add on laws, tack on laws to a case of tumat ayrev, the Gemara says shehim mirba. That's a common law, which is that's a very, very prevalent law in the Torah. However, narbe b'tumat shiva shimu'etet, which means tumat met of 7 days is unique only to met. And therefore, maybe I'm not going to tack on to be stringent of tum'at shva. Maybe it's only where it says it. Maybe I'm not going to tack on all these extra cases of zanav sus, zanav para. After all, it's a very unique case, tum'at met. It's 7 days. So therefore, since it's a rare thing in the Torah, maybe only where it says, how do you know just because you found it by sheretz that I'm going to add it to tum'at met? So the Gemara says, Tamud Omar, back to the Gezerah Shava. Beged ve'or, beged ve'or, the Gezerah Shava. Bottom line, once you have that beged ve'or connection, we're going to connect sheretz and tum'at met in all its laws. Ne'emar, beged ve'or, be'sheretz. Ne'emar, beged ve'or, be'met. מה בגד ואור אמור בשרץ? עשה דבר הבא מזנב הסוס ומזנב הפרה כמעשי העזים. And we know by sherets that we gave a status of zanav asus וזנב הפרה like מעשי העזים. אף בגד ואור אמור באמת עשה דבר הבא מזנב הסוס ומזנב הפרה כמעשי העזים. So back to the גזירה שווה. So at the end of the day we're learning from Osak teaches me what? That by tum'at sheretz, you even include the tails of the horse. Now, how do you apply that to tum'at met? I got the gezerah shavah working for me. It says the words beged and or by tum'at sheretz. It says the words beged ve'or by tum'at met. Just like over here, so too over there. Now, we have a rule. Let me introduce the rule to you. When you make a gezerah shavah, let's say in this case beged ve'or, those words of the Gezerah Shava must be available. Meaning, they must be opened for you to use this Gezerah Shava, which means you can't take words that are necessary for themselves and make a Gezerah Shava out of them. They have to be extra. Why? Because if they're extra, then the Gezerah Shava becomes irrefutable. However, if they're not extra, so then already you can refute Gezerot Shavuot. If you have a question on it, they become refutable. But if you want to make them irrefutable, the words have to be totally extra. In this case, had the words Beged Ve'or not been extra, which we're going to prove that they are extra, they're not necessary, this Gezerot Shavuot is refutable. But to give us, you don't have to worry. Even though we have a refutation, since the beged ve'or are extra, it doesn't matter. It's as if it's explicitly written in the pasuk, and therefore it's above any question. I'll read that inside and explain the concept to you again. The Gemara says, umufne, meaning the words beged ve'or that are written by sheretz are extra. Well, literally mufne means it's opened, which means you could use them.
Right. There's no attachment.
Right. Meaning we don't even need it for itself. Which means beged or. Maybe you need the words beged or to teach me that tumat sheretz affects begadin and affects leather. That's all. You don't even need it for that. It's totally extra. Why? The Gemara says de'id lav mufneh. Because if these words weren't totally extra for the Gezerah Shava, ika lemifrach, I could really refute this and say, ma lesheretz sheken mitameh b'chadasha. I can say, listen, you know why we're strict by sheretz? that we're saying even the horse's tail and even the cow's tail, because sheretz is very stringent. Because the tumah sheretz is even the size of a lentil of a sheretz is susceptible to tumah, or can bring tumah, I should say, of tumah sheretz. A lentil size of a sheretz can be mitameh. However, by tumat mit, what's the shiur of the mit that brings tumah? Kezayit. And therefore I could tell you, what do you mean gizir hashavah? There's no gizir hashavah over here. Just because you found it by sheretz, I'll tell you, yes, you know why sheretz were mahmir? Because look, you see this humrot by sheretz. Already it's tumetameh b'chadasha. Who says by mit that it's more lenient in that sense, that it's only mitameh b'kezayit? Maybe we don't have that stringency of horse's tail and cow's tail. That could have been a refutation. But you know what the Gemara says? Don't refute it. Because bottom line, the word beged is extra. Once it's extra, and therefore it's open for the Gizra Shema, even though you have a legitimate refutation, we don't hear the refutation. It's as if it was written explicitly in the Pasuk, horse's tail, cow's tail, by saying beged ve'od. Because you don't need beged ve'od for itself. So therefore, the Gemara says, Mufneu, this Terasha is available. And why? Why did the Gemara go out of its way to say it's available? Because if it wasn't available, meaning if this was already used for itself, I'd be able to knock this out of the box very simply. And so you can't learn Sheretz to Mit. I can say Sheretz as a stringency because it is Mitameh b'chadasha. Now the Gemara has to prove, but met, no, met is tumah b'kezayit. Leave that. Regarding the tumah, the shi'ur of kezayit and kadasha, sheretz has a stringency. What's the stringency? The shi'ur. The shi'ur. And even that, what you said, Habib, we said just before, that the fact that this has tumah t'erev is a stringency in certain ways to tumah sheretz. The fact that you find such a tumah that's so prevalent, so therefore maybe the Torah added more types of things that are tameh as opposed to tumah shivah, which is unique to tumah met. So therefore the Gemara now comes along and has to prove to me, how do you know that the words beged ve'or are indeed extra? Which means, don't I need beged ve'or for itself? You tell me these words are totally superfluous. How do you know? So the Gemara says, La'ayeh. La'ayeh means emet. Yes, indeed, it is truthful. The words bigger than or by sheretz are extra. Afnuyeh mufne. They're open. They're extra. Mechti, let's analyze. Sheretz et kashe shechvat zera. We know that the laws of sheretz are compared to the laws of shechvat zera. That's if somebody has a seminal discharge. That's also a tumah. How do you know that they compared the laws? Dichtiv, ish asher tetzeh memenu shekvat zera, a man that has a seminal discharge, usmichna, and then right next to that it says, ish asher yiga bechol sheretz. So you see the Torah juxtaposes these two parashiyot, zera and sheretz. Uchtiv bebe shekvat zera, and we know by the laws of shekvat zera, what does it say? Bechol beged vechol or. It says the words beged and or by shekvat zera. Asher yalav shekvat zera. Beged ve'or dichtiv rachmana b'sheretz lamali. So what do you have to tell to me by sheretz? Already if you're juxtaposing the laws of shekvat zera to sheretz. And we know by zera already he told me beged ve'or. So it must be the same law applies to sheretz. So then what do you have to tell me the words beged ve'or by sheretz? We know that already from shekvat zera. Must be, it's extra. Oh, once it's extra, now I can use it for the Gizr HaShavah. So the Gemara says, hold it. Ve'akateh mufneh mitzad echadu. Yeah, you only prove to me that it's one side is opened, meaning the side of Sheretz is opened. However, what about the side of Met, which means we made a Gizr HaShavah, beged ve'or, to beged ve'or. So you showed me the beged or by Sheretz is opened. However, how do you know the beged ve'or by tumat met, which we're comparing it to, is also mufne, is also open? Well, the Gemara says, "Hani aleman damar mufne mitzad echad lemedim ve'emeshivim." Well, there's an opinion that so long as one of the sides of the gezerah shavah is opened, you can make the gezerah shavah, and it becomes irrefutable. So look, we don't even have to search if the other side of it is open or not. There's an opinion that says, so long as one side is open and available, even if the other is not,
you could make a Gezirat Sheva and it's irrefutable. So good, according to that opinion, I don't even have to go for it. I don't have to even look like to admit to see if it's open or not. However, but according to the opinion that says, unless the other side is not available, then you can refute it. How are we going to answer? So the Gemara says, Demet name afnuye mufne. You know what? Even the words beged ve'or by met is also open and available extra. How? Mechti, let's analyze. Met itkash the shekmat zera. Tum'at met is also compared to shekmat zera, the guy that has a seminal discharge. How do I know? Dichtiv v'anogeya bechol tame nefesh. It's in the same pasuk, which means it says a guy that touches a dead body, that's tumat med, and it says, or a fellow that has a tumat shekhmat zera. So we see the Torah is obviously comparing the two. What does it say by shekhmat zera? Bechol beged, bechol or. Beged veor, dechtiv lahon alemet lamali. So why does it have to say beged veor by tumat med? Must be with extra. So therefore it comes out both big and behold on both sides of the equation were open, and therefore I could say I learned from Sheretz that what? From the word osak, the extra word oh teaches me what? That even the tail of the horse and the tail of the cow. Oh, so how do I know that that applies to tumat met? Well, I got the big and or. And how do you know that they're both open to make this Gizrat Shava? Because I proved to you, because I would know Beged and Or from Shekhmat Zera in both cases. Because if it wasn't open, I would have a refutation. What would my refutation be? I would say, what do you mean? Sheretz maybe is strict with its laws because it's Metameh Ka'adasha. Masha'en Ken, Tumat Met is Tumatameh Dafka Bekezayit. Doesn't matter. Yes, that refutation is a nice refutation, but it's not going to hold any water here. Why? Because since these Gezerot Shavot are coming from two words that are extra words in both Parashiyot, so it's above any refutation. Why? That she explains, because once you have a Gezerot Shavah like that, it's as if it's explicitly written in the Pasuk. Meaning, it's as if the Torah clearly writes, horse's tail, cow's tail are susceptible to tumah. Finish. If it's once it's written in the pasuk, there's nothing to talk about. That's only when it is mufneh. But if it wasn't mufneh, then already you'd have to, it'd be subject to this refutation.
Moshe Mitzinai, so still you could have a gezerah shava even if it's not extra.
No, you need a gezerah shava to be open and available to be above refutation. If it's not available, it doesn't mean automatically that we're going to refute it. If there's no refutation, then fine. However, if there's a question on it, then you can knock it out. Comes again without further. Now, once we discuss the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara, now the Gemara is going to discuss some more Pesukim in the war that the Jewish people fought against Midian. And they brought back a lot of the vessels from the war, and they had to purify them. So the pasuk writes, "Vanakrev et korban Hashem." It says when the Jewish people came back, they wanted to bring a korban. And what is the korban? Ish asher matzah kli zahav, of all the gold that they recovered from the spoils, etzada, that's the bracelets, vetzami, tabat, agil, vechumaz, lechaper al nafshotinu lefnei Hashem. They brought all the jewelry back from the war of Midian, and they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to bring this as a korban, like we want to designate it or sanctify it to God. So the Gemara says, Amar bin Azar, what are these jewelries over here? Agil. Well, one of the pieces of jewelry that they brought back, well, Itzada, we know what Itzada is, right? Itzada is a bangle or a bracelet. Samid would be, how would they explain Samid? What would be the word for Samid?
An anklet bracelet.
Okay, so one's on the arm and one's on the anklet. Tabat, we know. Tabat is a ring. Agil, that's the Gemara's question. What is this agil? So the Gemara says, agil zed fus shel dadin. So it seems the Goyim, they used to make a mold or a cast of dadim, which is the breast of a lady, which means they would make such a thing and they would wear it. So therefore it was a very immodest type of
jewelry that's a cast, the fushel dadin. Kumaz is another type of immodest jewelry they would make. Zud defushel betalechem. They would make a cast of their private parts, which was obviously a very immodest piece of jewelry. Amar Rabbi Yosef, ihachein. If that's the way you're interpreting these two pieces of jewelry that the Midjani ladies used to wear, haynu de mitargaminan mahoch. Now we understand when we look in the Targum on this word kumaz, he explains it mahoch. Now what does mahoch mean? Mahoch literally means like something that brings to laughter, something that brings to levity. Davara mevi lideh gihuch. Now why do these things bring to levity? Which means we understand. Because levity in this sense means it brings to promiscuity. Which means these things over here are letzanut. Now they're obviously they're lewd items, and therefore it's going to lead to lewdness. So therefore, how did the Targum interpret these items? Mahuch. Things that lead to lewdness. Amar le Rava. So Rava comes along and says, Megufe dekrash ma'mina. And we don't have to come to a Targum. The actual Pasuk itself implies that these items were jewelry of lewdness. Kumaz. What does the word kumaz stand for? Kav makom zima. Here is a place of zima. Zima, which means lewdness or promiscuity, etc. So therefore, you see that these are the types of jewelry that they brought back. Incidentally, I did see on this thing, agil, that the Yerushalmi understands agil as a earring that they wear on this. So it's a major difference between the opinions. But just to speak it out. Kamzi Gamaran continues. Vayiksof Moshe al pekudei ha'ayin. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at these soldiers that came back from the war. What did he get angry? Because he heard them saying, alright, we want to bring a korban to God. So Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, what do you have to bring a korban for? Implying that they made a sin. Now you have to know the context of this story. This was right after the Jewish people stumbled with the girls of Moab, which is after Bilam had set up the Jewish people where they committed acts of znut, acts of prostitution with Benot Moab, where 24,000 Jews died as a result. So now this was the revenge. So we went against Midian to fight them. When we came back from the war, the Jews said that we want to bring a korban of atonement. So it says, Vayiksot Moshe. Moshe got angry. Al pekudei ha'ayin. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba, Bar Abu. Amar Lein Moshe Yisrael. Sheme hazartem nekilkulchem arishon. Well, maybe you made the sin again. Maybe you went back to your original sin, which means, what did you do in the war? We sent you out to the war because they got us with, sins of arayot. Why you want to bring a korban? Maybe you went back to your original sin, which means maybe you committed sins of arayot in the war? Amru, no. They said, no. Lo nefkad memenu ish. We didn't lose one man. Meaning they were saying, no, we all remain Jewish. We didn't commit any sin. Amar Leim, imken kapara lama. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, so what's the kapara for? What are you bringing this korban? Amru lo, imide avera yatsanu, mide hirhur lo yatsanu. Which means, yeah, we might not have committed the actual act, but we had thoughts. Which means there was bad thoughts over here. I mean, they came in contact with these ladies of Midian. They saw these jewelry over here, seductive jewelry. So that hit on him. It says we have to bring kapara because of the bad thoughts that we had. So it says miyad. The pasuk says immediately right after that. That what? They brought the korban. What does the pasuk say? The nekrav et korban Hashem. That they brought the korban of Hashem. Tana de Berbi Ishmael. Mepnei maus lechu yiseh shivoto ador kapara. The Gemara confirms this. Why did that generation need kapara? Because they satiated their eyes by looking at things that they weren't allowed to. Which is when they're in the war, they saw stuff that they weren't allowed to see. Now Tosfot does point out, so what do you mean? When you go out to war against the Goyim, we have a law of Eshet Yefatua. It's permissible to go. You can not think about looking. You can actually go and bring her home and be with her. So what's Hirurei Avera? So Tosfot and Amud Ishon says, yeah, this pasuk says, Ve'hashakta ba, ve'lo b'haberta. Yeah, you're allowed to take one,
But the hirur cannot be on a friend. So therefore there was a hirur avera, even in that case over there. You can't have hirur on anybody. So you can take one. But not the friend. So comes again and says, Amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat says, Mipneima mana hakatuv. Takshitim shebachotzim, takshitim shebifneim. She means like this. In the pasuk we just read earlier, the Torah tells us some of the pieces of jewelry that the Jews recovered from this war against Midyan. And the jewelry was etzada, that's the bangles, samid, you said that's the one that we wear on the ankle, tabat, this ring, those are all jewelry that's exposed. Then you tell me about the kumaz. The kumaz is something that we learned either a cast that they used to wear, right, of the private part, or according to the Gemara here, it says it was like an internal ring that they would wear bimkom zima. So the Gemara is asking, why would the Torah list both styles of jewelry? So I understand why you're mentioning, let's say, the kumaz and stuff like that, because you want to tell me that the Jews got involved with hirure avera. But what are you listening to me then? The regular rings that the ladies wore on their fingers, and the regular. So comes the Gemara and says, you know why? It says, you know why the Torah enumerates or lists both types of jewelry, the revealed jewelry and the hidden jewelry? Lomar lecha, to teach you. Kol ha-mistakel be'etzba ketana shel isha, ki'ilu mistakel b'mkom ha-torfa. That anybody that looks at to derive pleasure from the small pinky, the finger of a lady, which means where she wears a ring, so to speak, that's as if he's looking at kumatorif at the arva. Therefore, the Torah is saying both the tabaat and the kumaz. Which is, if you look at the tabaat, it's as if you looked at the place where the kumaz was. Comes the Mishnah. Mishnah continues. Yotza isha bechute se'ar. Ben Mishela, Ben Mishel Haberta, Ben Mishel Behema. The Mishnah teaches us that it is permissible for a lady to braid her hair. She can braid her hair. Well, with some look at the Shiva Tosafot, if you're actually allowed to braid on Shabbat, Tosafot says you're not allowed to braid on Shabbat, whereas that she said it's not a problem. But the point is, if her hair is braided, let's say she has her own hair, meaning she cut her hair, and now she makes from her own hair braids, and she braids, weaves it into her own hair, she can wear that out into the public domain on Shabbat. As we learned earlier, there is no problem of what? Of mikveh, because even if she goes to the mikveh, the water can go through, so we're not concerned that she'll take it off and then forget and carry it. The Mishnah says further, ben mishel chaverta, or if, even if it's her friend's hair that she weaves within her hair, or bishil behema, or it comes from, let's say, animal's hair that she makes these strands, let's say, and she weaves it into her. So three types of hair are permissible. Now, uptotefet ubisarbitin. Totefet, we learned earlier, was like the headband that the lady wore from ear to ear in order to cover, let's say, some of the hairs that are sticking out. It was called a totefet. Ubisarbitin. Sarbitin, we said, were those ornaments that would dangle down from her hat, like on her cheeks. Now, the only way you could wear those type of jewelries, bizman shem tefurin bekabul, which means, I'm sorry, bizman shem tefurin, period, when they are sewn on
to the hat.
The hat is called the sabaka, which means we learned earlier that a lady cannot go out with these jewelry in the shoot to the beam. Why? Because she might take it off to show it to a friend. But if it's attached to her hat, which is called the sabacha, she's not taking off her hat. Why? Because she's not going to reveal her hair in the Rishut Rabim. So therefore, if they're attached to the hat, meaning if the totefet and the sarbitin are attached to the hat, it's permissible for her to go out into the public domain. Bekabul ubepea nukhrit lahatser. And we allow a lady to go out with a kabul and a pe'ah nukhrit l'chatzer. Now, if you remember earlier, Rabotai, on the word kabul, we had a mahloket. Amongst our chayim, we had to interpret kabul. Either was it a kippah shel tzemer, was like a hat made out of wool, or was it the chotam, the emblem that the master would make for his slave? Remember, we had a mahloket if it was the chotam of the Eved or Kippah Shel Tzemer. Here Rashi clearly tells us there's no argument. On this word Kabul, it's clearly it's a lady's hat that she wears. And the Hiddush of the Mishnah is that while we forbade the lady to wear jewelry in the public domain, and we also said it's forbidden for her to wear it in the chatzer, in the courtyard, lest she come out and wear it in the public domain, which means, remember the Mishnah earlier, that jewelry was not only forbidden in the Rishut Rabin, but was also forbidden in the chatzer. Now the Mishnah is telling you, but we made two exceptions. In the chatzer at least. And what were those two exceptions? She could wear the kabud, and she could also wear the pe'ah nukhrit, which is the wig. Now we'll see why did they make a dispensation for these two items, which means if you're forbidding all types of ornamental things, even in the chatzer, why make an exception even for these two? The Gemara will explain. Is that clear, gentlemen? Comes the Gemara and says, "Bemoch shebeozna." It's permissible for a lady to take, let's say, cotton and stick it in her ear. And well, let's say she's having, let's say, discharges from her ear, so she wants to stick it in there over there. So it's permissible for her to wear those cotton, let's say, in the Rishut Rabim on Shabbat. Ubemoch shebesandela, or she placed, let's say, a cushion in her shoe. Ubemoch shetkina linidata, or let's say a moch, let's say a piece of garment that she placed when she was nida, in order, let's say, that she says she places it beotamakom, in order that the blood doesn't come out. But Rashi's lashon is velo yitanef begadeha, that she's doing it in order that her clothes do not become dirty. And that she's telling you that's permissible for her to go out with that. Tosfot has a bomb question on Rashi over here. Tosfot says, what are you talking about? We learned early in the Masechet on Daf Yud Aleph that atzule tinuf, that if you wear something that's not protecting the body, but it's only protecting the garment, that's considered carrying. So how can Rashi over here tell me that a lady can go out with a moch if the whole purpose is that her garments don't get bloody? That's carrying. That's carrying according to the Gemara above. So Tosfot says, you know why she's wearing the moch? She's wearing because she doesn't want to get blood on her body. And if the blood gets on her body, it's going to dry, and then it's going to be a tzarta. Then it's considered a garment, which used to be a garment. What's pshat a garment? It's got to protect the body. But if it's protecting the garment, that's considered carrying. So that's what the machlok rovei Rashi and Tosfot, how to understand the reason why the lady was wearing the moch. That's the first Tosfot. Ube pilpel. Pilpel literally means a
peppercorn.
Ube galgal melach. That would be, let's say, a grain of salt. V'chol davar shenitan letoch piyah. Or for that matter, anything that she puts in her mouth. Now why is she going out on Shabbat with a pilpel in her mouth? So that she says, befiyah shereharra. She has bad breath, let's say. So she wants to put this peppercorn in her mouth in order to give her a good breath. Gargal melach, as she says, kemo gargid melach lirfuat choli shenayim. So this is medicinal, which means she's doing, putting it in her mouth. It seems she has something wrong with her teeth, and therefore this salt is some type of healing. That she says shenatna letoch piha bebe'od yom. So long as she places it in her mouth from before Shabbat, they're allowing her to go out with it. And the rabbis did not make their gezerah of medicine on Shabbat for some reason. The Gemara says yes. The Gemara says ubelvad shelo titen lechetahala b'Shabbat. But so long as she doesn't put it in on Shabbat, if she has it in her mouth before Shabbat, it's okay. But the ketayla on Shabbat, no. So let's see Tosafot. What's the logic of this din over here? Second Tosafot. Perush Arav Rabbi Porat, gezera mishum shaykat samamarim, kevan l'rfu'ahu. So he says, we don't want you to put it on Shabbat, because on Shabbat we do not allow medicine. So to put it on Shabbat in your mouth, that's a gizra that you might come to grind. That's the gizra of medicine on Shabbat. You might come to grind. But if you put it before Shabbat, it's okay. So comes the Tosfot and says, dimken im nafal amai lo tahzir. Which means if you look at the next din in the Mishnah, it says, v'im nafal lo tahzir. If it fell out of her mouth on Shabbat, meaning she put it before Shabbat. If it fell out of her mouth, she cannot put it back. Tosfot says, if the whole issue over here was medicine, The deen is that if, let's say, the bandage fell off on Shabbat, you could put it back. I mean, so long as it was on before Shabbat, there shouldn't be a problem from the gezerah of medicine to put it back. So Tosfot learns a different understanding. Why can't you put it in your mouth like a tahila on Shabbat? So he says like this, I'm just skipping down a little. Which means most people, when they see you putting a pepper or a piece of salt in your mouth, they don't understand that it's for medicinal purposes. And if they see you putting it on Shabbat, they're going to say, ah, she's a wise lady over here. She wants to carry the peppercorn somewhere. So what is she doing? She's playing a trick. She's putting it in her mouth as if she needs it for that. But really, her intention is to carry it. So on Shabbat, they don't want you to put it in your mouth because of a marit ayin issue. Which means, even though you put it in your mouth before Shabbat, so you don't have the medicine issue. Now, it fell out of your mouth. Don't put it back in. Why? Because by putting it back in on Shabbat, people might think that you're doing it in order to carry, and they're not going to understand that it really is for medicinal reasons. And therefore, the Chataira, we don't want you to put it on Shabbat as well. So comes the Gemara and says, Shen Totebet, Shen Shel Zahav. Last case of the Mishnah. What is Shen Totebet, Shen Shel Zahav? So that she in his first pshat learns that this is the same case. It's a removable tooth, shen totevet, that's made out of gold. So the Gemara is a machloket on this. The removable, it's one case, shen totevet shel zahav. It's a removable tooth that's made out of gold. What's the issue over here? Rabbi Matir, Hakamim Moslim. Rabbi says she can go out with the gold tooth on Shabbat. Hakamim says she can't. Now I understand Rabbi. It's bottom line, it's a tooth. It's attached in her mouth. Why should Hakamim say Asur? Unless you're going to tell me why she's going to take out her gold tooth in order to show it to people. So let's see that she. Hakamim Oslim, the Kivan, the Mishune, since it's different, a gold tooth stands out. Mishara Shinaim, Dilma Mehaiche Ala. We're concerned that the people might laugh at her. Well, look at this lady, look at his gold tooth. Ah, b'shakla la me'atam. And she might remove it, and she might end up coming and carrying it. So that's why the gold tooth, according to Achamim, is asur. Now, that she gives a second way to learn our Mishnah. The second way to learn the Mishnah is like this. Shen totevet, period. Meaning, a regular, let's say, false tooth that looks like a tooth, mutar to go out on Shabbat. I mean, the Shen Totevet is going back on the earlier dinim of the Mishnah that are muteret. And the Achlok between the Bin HaChamim is only by Shen Shel Zahav. So it's two separate cases. Now she brings that down in the Mishnah Acharina. Comes the Gemara and says, V'sirika. Meaning, we need all three cases. We had three cases in the Mishnah regarding the lady going out with the braid. We discussed whether she goes out with a braid made from her own hair, whether she goes out with a braid made from her friend's hair, whether she goes out with a braid made from animal's hair. What do you need all three cases? Bottom line, mutar, mutar. So it was a vesricha. Because if you're going to tell me her hair, I'll say mishum de lo ma'is. Because it's not disgusting, it's her hair. There's no concern that she might come to take it off, or they might laugh at her, etc. But when she's wearing, let's say, her friend's hair, so it says demais, which is already more different and a little disgusting, I might say they might laugh at her, because it's really not so compatible to her own hair, and she might take it off. Comes and says, no, it's okay. And if you told me her friend's hair, I'd say, you know what? They bat me now. At least it's the same species. It's a woman's hair to a woman's hair. Aval de behema, but wearing animal's hair. Lav bar mina. And I might think that since it's not the species, they might laugh at her, she might take it off. Ema lo tzericha. So therefore the Gemara is saying all three cases, which is lo zu'av, so it's going in order. Saying not only her own hair, not only her friend's hair, but even animals. We know it could have said animal's hair, I don't have to do anything, but I'm telling you the Mishnah is using a style of Lozu after. There's a derech in Mishnayot to go in logical progression. It starts off with the less chidush and builds its way up.
to the biggest chiddush, which is Se'ar Be'matana. We have a braita. Ubelvad shelo tetze yalda b'shel zekena v'zekena b'shel yalda. A young lady is called a yalda. She has black hair. Right, her hair is still colored. And zekena, her hair is white. Okay, so the Gemara Mishnah says, the braita says, ubelvad, so long as shelo tetze yalda, a girl with black hair should not go out with braids of white hair. Or for that matter, zekena, lady with white hair, should not go out with braids of a yalda of black hair. So the Gemara says, hold it. Pishlama zekena b'shel yalda. I understand the chiddush of a zekena, of an old lady that has white hair, that she wants to braid herself with the hair of a yalda, black hair. Shebahula. That's a praise, which means it's a chiddush. Even though it's an upgrade, where I would think it should be okay. So I need the braita to tell me still it's a problem because it's different. You're going to see black and white hair in the old lady. People will laugh at her and she'll take it off and then what's the problem? But at least it's a chiddush. Which means even though it's an upgrade to the lady, right? She has white hair. She wants to look black. So the chiddush is to tell me even though you might say it's a praise and if she has no reason to take it off, still asur. Why? Because they might laugh at her and she might take it off. But the Gemara says, "Ela yalda b'shel zekena." Does the Braita have to tell me that when a young girl with black hair, that she can't put the white hair in there? Am I? What do you have to tell me this for? Gnayula. It's obvious. Jesus, it's obvious. It's silly, isn't it? Isn't it superfluous for a Braita to tell me the obvious case? So the Gemara says, "You're right." Aidi detana zekena b'shel yalda. Tana nami yalda b'shel zekena. You're right. You really didn't have to tell you that case. The real case, the Hadush of the Braita, was the case of the old lady with the young ladies here. But once it said that case, it gave you the reverse case as well. Comes again and says, "Be kabul, ubepe'an ochrit lahaser." The lady is allowed to wear a kabul. We said that is the knitted hat, or the pe'an ochrit, that would be the wig in the courtyard. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav." Rav said, "Kol she'asru chachamim natzit bol reshut rabbim." It's very important dini. All the dini that we learned until this point, that we said that the lady cannot wear in the reshut rabbim, asur latzet bo lachaser. It's forbidden even in the courtyard. Because we said the rabbis made a gezerah, not only in the public domain, but in the courtyard as well. Chutz mekabulu pe'anuchrit. Except for these two items. Why? We'll see in a minute. Lava'anane bar sason mishimed rabbi Yishmael amar. Hakol ke kabul. Very important shitab Rav Hanani bar Sason. He comes along and says everything has a din of a kabul. Just like a kabul, we said you're allowed to wear in the chaser, so to everything we said till now you could wear in the chaser. Meaning, according to Rav Hanani bar Sason, all the jewelry that we forbade the lady in the Neshut HaRabim, it's permissible in the Hatzis. So it comes out we have a phenomenal mahloket over here. Can a lady wear a jewelry in the chatzir? So Chaim's asking, what do you mean? Rav Anani bar Sason can't argue on a Mishnah. Our Mishnah clearly said that it's also asur b'chatzir. Let's give us the next question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, bekabul ubepe'ah nukhrit lachasir. That the only items that we allowed in the chatzir is the kabul and the pe'ah, implying everything else is asur. Bishlama l'rav niha. According to Rav, it's good. Because everything is forbidden in the chaser. But how's Rav Anani bar Sason going to learn? Gemara says, what do you want from Rav Anani bar Sason? Rabbi Anani bar Sason mishemeh deman ka'amarne. He didn't say this on his own. Who did he quote? Mishemeh Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yoseh. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yoseh tanahu palig. Rabbi Yishmael is a Tana, he can argue on the Mishnah. So what are you worried about Rabbanani bar Sason? He didn't say it on his own, he's quoting it from a Tana. So it comes out we have a Mahloket Tanaim, if you're allowed to do this in the Hatzer or not. Wow. Incidentally, if you look at the bottom Tosfot clearly says, Benir'e Daracha Kerebi Anani. He holds like Rabbanani, wow. So Tosfot's lenient. And not only is he lenient in a chatzir, but he says, what type of chatzir are we talking about? A chatzir that does not have an eruv in it. Which means he was doubly lenient to us. For number one, he's lenient in a chatzir, like Rav Hanani, and he also a chatzir that does not have an eruv. But again, that is not the consensus of all the Shonim, the...
We're not afraid
to take it. Yeah, Rabbi's Medikis of the Rabim. Hatzed is already a rabbinical domain. It's only rabbinical, Hatzed. Hatzed, bottom line, he went out of Eruv, is only with Rabbanan. So therefore, the Rabbi's not make a Gezerah. That's what Tosfot says, we posek like that, because it's only because it's affecting Rabbanan over here. She might take it off, because that's Rabbanan, we go to Kula. We take the lenient opinion. He's the lenient opinion. Okay, that is the opinion of the Tosafot. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Also says the Isur only in a Hatser. They hold it's Asur in a Hatser. But they say, what type of Hatser is Asur? A Hatser that doesn't have an Eruv. But the Rambam says if the Hatser has an Eruv, it would be permissible for her to carry her or wear her jewelry. So Tosafot holds even a Hatser that's not Me'orevit. He posek like Rav Anani. However, the Rambam holds no. In a Hatser without an Eruv, it's a surfa to go out near the jewelry. Only in a Hatser that has an Eruv, it would be permissible. Okay, comes the Gemara and says that's the Rambam. The Rambam comes the Gemara and says. Oh, my shenahane. The Gemara asks, according to Rav, you told me that the kabul and the pe'ah are the only two items that are permissible in the Hatzer. Why those two? Why are you being lenient dafka on those two without all the other jewelry? So he says like this, Amar ula kedeh shelo titkane al bahala. Because we don't want the lady to look repugnant or repulsive to her husband, which means we can't fit in everything. Really, we want to fit in everything. No jewelry in the Hatzer. But you know what? If she's not going to be allowed to wear anything, not going to look nice to her husband. So therefore, they made a dispensation. They said, you know what? Two out of the 10 items that we mentioned, and while they picked the kabul and the pe'ah nuchi, it's another story. But they gave you a dispensation. At least so she should look somewhat presentable to her husband. So they allowed it in the Hatzer. Kedetanya. Now we have a braita to support this. It says by the laws of nida, later it becomes a nida. Now the word dava can mean that a lady is supposed to be, let's say, I would say excommunicated or pushed away when she's nida. Dava benidata. I mean, she has to be sent out, so to speak, when she's nida. So how do the rabbis learn it? Zekirim arishonim amru. You know how the earlier rabbis used to learn this pasuk? Shelot tichol. She should not put mascara on her eyes during nida. Velot tifkos. She shouldn't put rouge on her face. Velot titkashet b'bigdei sifonim. Nor should she wear her colored garments. Meaning she has to not, she can't get made up. During nida, meaning she's out. She's as if she's, she cannot dress up in any nice way. Ad sheva Rabbi Akiva v'limed, until Rabbi Akiva came along and taught, no. Imken atam megane al ba'ala. What are you doing over here? You're going to cause the lady over here to look repulsive to her husband now during the time she's nida. V'nimsa ba'ala megarsha. Why are you going to cause the husband to divorce? But what does it mean? It says that she's moved out, or nida, meaning she's banned in her nida time. What does that mean? Benidata tehe ad shetavo b'mayim. All the pasuk is saying that even after the 7 days, she's still considered banned until she goes into the water, which has nothing to do with what she could wear, what type of makeup. She can really get dressed up. She can wear her normal clothes. But what? She's banned to the husband until she goes into the water. Now, there's an interesting derashah that the rabbis say, the machloket between the Bi'akiva and the Hakamim is actually based on another machloket at the end of Masichet Gittin. At the end of Masichet Gittin, there's a machloket between the rabbis and the Bi'akiva. Under what grounds is a person allowed to give his wife a get? To give his wife a divorce. So the first shita says that, which is actually the Bi'akiva, even if your wife does not look presentable to you, which is even if you found, let's say, somebody that's
more attractive,
that's already a right for a divorce. Where the Hakamim say no. In Dafka, she had to do something that was wrong, which means she was not faithful or something, but otherwise, you know, she wasn't modest, but otherwise, you cannot. So that's the machlok, the same machlok over here. Which means, the earlier rabbis are telling you what? She can't put on makeup, she can't put on anything during the time of Nida. Why? Because they hold, for looks, she can't get a divorce anyway. So therefore, no problem. We're not worried about it. Where is the Biakiva? I learned in Masikat Gitin that for looks, that's a right for divorce. And therefore, if she's not going to look nice to you, you're going to get Gerushin. So therefore, the Tolei this Machlok between the Biakiva and Zekirin to the Machlok of Besof, Masikat Gitin. Comes Gemara and continues and says, last point. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Kol makom she'asru hachamim mipne marit ha'ayin, afilu b'hadre hadarim asur. New rule. We know the rabbis sometimes made a law, you can't do certain things because of marit ha'ayin, because of the perception. People are going to see it, exactly. That's why we're bringing this Gemara, which is people are going to see something and they're going to misinterpret what you're doing. Therefore, we all said it, mishum marit ha'ayin. So that she gives the example, remember we learned above, we said a man cannot go out on Shabbat wearing different armory on him. Right? Because it looks like he's going to war. Even though he just wants to wear it on his day off, he wants to dress up like a soldier. No, asur, because of marit ayin. So the hidush is that once it's asur, it's even asur b'hadri hadarim. You can't even wear it in your house. You can't even wear it behind closed doors. What's the logic? So that she explains, because, or like we learned above, remember we learned above, you cannot, let's say, take a string of camels in the public domain, because it looks like you're taking them to the marketplace to sell. Money dying. So things like that you can't even do in your backyard. Why? So the Mefarshim explain it. There's nobody dying. There's nobody there.
There's a guy checking out the door.
He's in the room of rooms. Hadre hadarim. He's in a door within a door. Right. So what's the explanation? Because he might come out. They don't want to get involved with it at all because he might come out into the public where there are people scrutinizing, and therefore it is asur. So it comes again, Gemara says, Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Velo bezug. Right, we said that the animal cannot go out with a bell. Afapi shepakak or shepakuk. Even though you stuffed up the bell, so you don't have a problem of making music on Shabbat or noise. But bottom line, the way they used to sell animals was they used to put the bell on it. So bringing an animal out in the public domain on Shabbat with a bell is going to give us the impression that he's going to sell it. However, v'tanya idach, we have another braita that said pokek la zug besavara. We said so long as you plug the bell up, you can walk the animal in the chaser, in the courtyard. Implying what? That we're not worried about marit ayin in a private place. You just told me what? Marit ayin is asur even in hadre hadarim. Now you tell me a braita that says you can take the animal out with the bell into the private domain. Why? No marit ayin. So make up your mind. What's the extent of marit ayin? So the Gemara says, Tanaehi. Gemara says, right, it's a machloket Tanaim. This subject that we just said, marit ayin, how far do you take it? Obviously it's a machloket Tanaim. One rabbi will say, even b'hadre hadarim. And one rabbi will say, no, only in the public and private. It's okay. So comes the Gemara and says, Detanya. Now we're going to show you that it's a machloket Tanaim. Shotchan b'hama. What is this talking about? Let's say you have a vessel, a garment. And let's say it got soaking wet from rain. You left it in the rain now it's soaking wet. So you want to go on Shabbat, you want to take the garment and just lay it out in the sun in order so that it'll sun dry it. So the first shita says, Shotchan b'hama. You could, lay it out in the sun. Avalo keneged ha'am. Oh, you can't do it in front of the people. Because the people are going to think you washed it on Shabbat, and now you're coming to dry it. So this opinion is telling you, but you can do it in private. But you just don't do it in front of people. So you see what? Marit ayin is mutar. The yachid. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, where is Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Shimon say, no, even in private, it is asur, like Rav. So therefore you see what? It's indeed a machloket tanaim on the extent of marit ayin. Okay, so that's the deen. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.